Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, and I appreciate each one of you for your attendance to be here with us this morning. We trust for no other reason but to worship the true and living God, the God of heaven and earth. Appreciate the good prayer that was offered, and ask a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you. If I speak to you what's on my mind this morning, it's something that's very crucial and important to me. I trust it is, and to you also. And what I'd like to speak to you about is walking in the truth. Now, that word truth is a very critical word and a very critical aspect of us as Old Baptists. The truth is, what do you think of when you say the truth as it is in Christ Jesus? You know, this morning driving down from Chatsworth, Georgia, I passed, I don't know, 25 or 30 churches or buildings that call themselves churches on the way down here. But I passed up every one of them to be at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Why? Because the truth of God is proclaimed here at this building when we meet together to worship the Lord. And the truth of what the Scriptures teach is very, very important.
Right.
Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you tell them what you believe, that you believe in election, that you believe God chose us, that you believe salvation to the Lord, and it's not of anything you do, it's not of works, it's by what God does for you, and they don't agree with you. And they'll say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. We're all working to get to the same place anyway. Well, my response to that is, well, you may be working to get somewhere, but I'm not working to get anywhere. I meet together to worship the Lord, to praise His name, to thank Him for salvation that He brought to me when I was not able to do anything of myself. I'm thankful to Him for the understanding of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. The truth to me means that you believe you were dead in sins and trespasses and not able to do anything toward God, or had no intentions or ideas to do anything toward God, until God, by His grace, reached down and rescued you from the fallen state you were in Adam, and gave you eternal life. And when He gave you eternal life, then you were in a position to believe and worship and adore and praise God for salvation that is of the Lord. I want to read a portion of Scripture this morning where that subject of truth was brought up to Jesus. Jesus was before Pilate. And Pilate asked Jesus a question. He asked him in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be a witness unto the truth, a witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
Right.
Now everyone that is of the truth. What did he mean by lie? There's another place found in the book of John where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever is of Jesus, whoever has been born again, whoever has the Spirit of God within them hears God's word. They have an ear to hear the things of God and the things of the Scriptures. And when Jesus said that to Pilate, Pilate asked him this question. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Now it's important that we know what truth is. I would not be a primitive Baptist if I didn't come to the knowledge of what truth is. Now we want to turn over to a portion of Scripture that's found also in the book of John, and it is concerning something Jesus himself established, and I want to read a portion of the earlier part of this chapter 4 of the book of John, in which the Scripture says something about Jesus when he was at a place. He had been in Judea, and he was departing Judea and going to Galilee. It's in the 4th chapter of the book of John. And it says there, he left Judea, and he departed again unto Galilee. And it said, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why in the world did the Scripture tell us that Jesus left Judea going to Galilee and he must needs go through Samaria? That's interesting. What did Jesus know about Samaria that required him of necessity to leave and go through Samaria? Well, I'm going to read some of it in a minute, but I'll just give you a little preliminary. Jesus was going through Samaria to go by Joseph's well. And when he would go to Joseph's well, which is, I've actually been there myself. It is a well where you can... Most of you in here are not old enough. Maybe some of you are to remember. I can remember being at my granddaddy's house as a child. When we needed water in the house, we went out to the well, and there was a bucket and a chain, and you let the bucket down into the well till it fill up, and you pull the bucket up, and you pour the bucket of water from the well over into a bucket you'd carry into the house. I can remember that. Well, Jacob's well is like that. You can go there, right? You could go there this morning if you could get there that quick. But there's a place there over near Samaria that's Jacob's well. You can draw water up out of that well, and you can actually drink water out of that well. I've actually drank water out of that well. Well, when Jesus went to Jacob's well, he did go there to satisfy his natural thirst, but he went there for one specific purpose: to teach the woman at the well about the necessity and the importance of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus in order for us to properly worship the Lord. Did you hear me? To properly worship the Lord. So Jesus went to Samaria, and he stopped at Jacob's well. And he started a conversation with this woman that he met at the well. And he told the woman, he said, "Go get your husband and bring him with you." Well, she didn't have a husband. So she told Jesus, "Well, I don't have a husband." And then he told her, he said, "Thou hast said well, thou hast no husband, but you've had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not your husband." Now, this was a busy woman to have all that many men, five husbands, and a man that's not her husband. But Jesus told her that, and she was impressed. "I just met this man. How did he know that about me? Who told him all that about my life?" No one needed to tell him. This was Jesus, the Son of the living God, who knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure." God, Jesus, knew all about this woman. Well, when Jesus told her all that, the woman said unto him in verse 19 of this same chapter, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." You see, she was of Samaria. The Samarian, they were Jews, but they didn't worship in Jerusalem. They worshiped in a mountain, at a mountain there in near Samaria. She said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And then Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." In other words, the time is coming when it won't matter where you're at to worship the Lord. He said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." And I think this next phrase that Jesus said is very critical for us to understanding the truth. What does he tell her? "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He could have just as soon said right there, "Salvation is of the Lord." Why? Because when he said salvation is of the Jews, he was talking about himself, who took a body from the Virgin Mary, from the lineage and loins of Abraham, the father of Israel and the father of the Jewish nation. But he told her, salvation is of the Jews. It's important to know, if you're going to understand the truth, that salvation came to you from God, and it's of Jesus, and Jesus alone. It's not in your decision to believe. It's not in your decision to walk down the aisle, take the preacher's hand, and accept Jesus. It's not in your decision to go to the pool of water and be baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ. None of that that brings salvation, eternally speaking. It's the salvation that is of God. The salvation that Jesus spoke of here, that is of the Jews. Told her salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now I'm telling you right now, what He said right there is the very reason why in the very first of this chapter 4, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria to establish the truth of the matter, that if you worship God and you worship Him properly and you worship Him the way God desires that you worship Him, you must do it in spirit and you must do it in truth. Now, I told you I passed a lot of buildings. It's called churches coming down, and all of you did the same. Well, we were coming to Macedonia Church because we know at Macedonia under Elder Will Martin, you hear the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. You hear that salvation is of the Lord. You hear the truth, and we give God the praise and honor and glory for bringing us salvation when we were not worthy of the least of His mercies. I believe that's why He must needs go through Samaria to establish this truth. That's why if I had stopped at one of those other buildings called a church to worship the Lord this morning, would I have been worshiping? Yes, they worship. They worship the Lord in spirit. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God. They've been born again of God. And they worship the Lord in spirit. But when they get down to it and they try to make salvation something to be other than of the Lord, it's not in truth. So they're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And what does this scripture tell me? It tells me that my God seeketh such to worship Him that worships Him in spirit and in truth. Now you got to be careful, because I said church, I said buildings. You may even find some that claim to be Primitive Baptists that don't worship the Lord in truth. Some have errors in doctrine. Some have errors in practice. Some have tried to add things. Some have added Sunday schools or Bible studies or something else, thinking, well, the Lord just didn't know it all. I'm going to improve on what He gave us in the New Testament. No, I want to be in a church that worships the Lord in spirit and the truth of how we're taught in the New Testament to worship Him. And that's to be at a place where the truth is proclaimed and we hear the only authorized avenues of worship to the Lord. We have prayer to God. We sing and make melody unto our hearts unto the Lord. And we have preaching that's of a man called of God to declare the glorious riches of Christ and Him crucified. Jesus went to Samaria to establish it is important to worship the Lord in truth, because He seeks such to worship Him. And then He goes on here and says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must not, would like for you to, if you would, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things. And then Jesus told her, the very one you're talking about. He saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Yes, this was the Messiah. This was the Son of God. This was the Son of Man. This was the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. This was the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way and the only way you'll get to heaven. He's the truth because he is your salvation. Not anything you've done, but he is it. He's the way, the truth, he's the truth. And he is indeed our Savior. Now I believe that's why Jesus went to Samaria to establish that fact. For us to understand, if we're going to properly worship the Lord, it must be in spirit. Because you have the Spirit of God within you that gives you the desire to worship God. But you must be doing it in truth. In truth. In truth that salvation is of the Jews, that salvation is of the Lord, that salvation is unto God. Now I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here in closing and turn it over to Elder Will Martin, who's going to come before you. You'll find in the second epistle and the third epistle of John, it speaks very much in the first part of these chapters about walking in the truth. And when you meet together in a place that worships the Lord in spirit and in truth, you as a child of God will be walking in the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. The second epistle of John, the very first says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. It's a commandment from God the Father that you, as God's children, born again of His Spirit, walk in the truth of God. Now the third epistle of John says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's why I'm a primitive Baptist. I'll give you an example. I was in a church. It was a missionary Baptist church. It was an Armenian missionary Baptist church. We called a new pastor. He came in. He preached out of Ephesians chapter 1. He preached election. He preached just predestination. It split that church. And half of us, and I went with a half that left. Half of us went off and formed what we call a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church. We were serving the Lord. We believed in predestination. We believed in election. But then I read a scripture one time that said, this place where I'm at won't have this. It's a scripture. They won't have it. I had to find a place that would have it. I found it among the primitive Baptists. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Just think about that. The church I was in, it was a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist church. They believed in election, they believed in predestination, but they would not have the fact that anybody that believes is already born of God. That's why he believes. That scripture says, why you believe is because you're born of God. Well, how are you born of God? You're born of God by God's sovereign grace that comes to all of his elect children that he chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world was. I thank you for the attention to speak to you this morning. Pray for Elder Martin as he comes for you. Always remember why Jesus must needs go to Samaria to establish the fact that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.